This is music by Jose James. Welcome to The Checkout, a radio show and podcast from WBGO. I'm Josh Jackson. You are the soul of love, a gentle kiss. The modern jazz singer Jose James says he doesn't court controversy. However, he says While You Were Sleeping, his recording, may be the most controversial Blue Note recording to date. Haters gonna hate. Drummer Jeff Ballard links up with guitarist Lionel Lueke and saxophonist Miguel Zanon. They lock in on Ballard's recording, Time's Tales. But first, Panamanian artist Danilo Perez digs into 500 years of his country's history. Danilo joins bassist John Patitucci and drummer Brian Blade in our performance studio with WBGO's Rhonda Hamilton. This is The Checkout. I'm Josh Jackson. Thanks for checking in.
We are so pleased to have with us as our special guests, pianist Danilo Perez, as well as bassist John Patitucci and drummer Brian Blade. They are here with us to share with us some of the beautiful music by Danilo Perez. It's called Panama 500. Gentlemen.
Thank you.
Music from Danilo Perez, John Patitucci, and Brian Blay. They are in our studio here in Newark. We just heard Panama 500. It's really an expansive work, Danilo. It tells a story in musical terms. Tell us about that story. What is Panama 500 all about?
Well, the Panama 500 story is about 500 years of the rediscovery, what we call, you know, when I talk to indigenous people in Panama, I asked them, I wanted to do a project about discovering of the Pacific Ocean, and they said, what discovering? It's a rediscovery. So it's when Panama really became a central role in the history of connecting the East with the West, and I really wanted to do a film scoring about this event, which I think is transcendental. It changed the human course and the human history of connecting throughout the world, because Panama is such a link. We call it the Bridge of the Americas and the heart of the universe.
You also served as a cultural ambassador to Panama at one time. You mm-hmm. were a goodwill ambassador to UNICEF. You're a very busy person. You're currently one of the UNESCO Artists for Peace.
Yes.
And you also founded and you're the artistic director of the Panama Jazz Festival. And you have a foundation that really works with educating some of the poorest children in Panama. And I was wondering, what compelled you to become so philanthropic in what you do? You know, I mean, you really work actively to try to make the world a better place.
Well, I guess I grew up in an environment, you know, we were very poor when I was growing up. And I saw my father, no matter what social class he was, he was a teacher, really helping people. And my grandfather was he helped the whole community. And I guess I grew up in that environment. I also grew up with my father really nurturing the idea of music as a social change, music as a learning, for learning subjects and other things like mathematics and geography, a lot of things I didn't like. So my father really used music to help me to learn, to see almost like a lens, so the way I look at the world through music and connecting it all the time.
This is a piece called Rediscovery of the South Sea.
Yes, this piece is like going through the motion, all those things that connected in Panama, the melting pot, and how Panama, the geographical position has allowed that melting pot to come together.
Yes, because really, Panama is the center of the world, as you say.
Right? Oh, right.
Yes.
I like that.
Yes. So let's listen once again. This is actually from the album Panama 500, Rediscovery of the South Sea.
Thank you.
babdu manane bua napanega nasiskua tadogade ni niskua mala urbide bua bela anmardula ambikun moga wena panekine wena paunila anmarga uilesa akwega.
We're listening to music from Danilo Perez. That was a piece called Rediscovery of the South Seas with Ben Street playing the bass, Adam Cruz on drums, the violinist Alex Hargreaves, and we also heard percussion work from Ramon Diaz, who did the chant, Panama 500. Well, thank you for your music. It's very uplifting, and you're going to play one more piece for us. It's called the Canal Suite, and this particular movement is Melting Pot. Music, once again, from Danilo Perez, John Patitucci, and Brian Blade. Thank you, gentlemen, very much.
Thank you.
Chocolito by Danilo Perez, with John Patitucci on bass and Brian Blade on drums. WBGO's Rhonda Hamilton spoke to the pianist. In a minute, Time's Tales, Jeff Ballard, with WBGO's Tim Wilkins. This is The Checkout. I'm Josh Jackson.
The record is Time's Tales. It's the Jeff Ballard Trio with Lionel Loeche and Miguel Zenon. And the teller of these tales is drummer Jeff Ballard, who's joining us today on The Checkout.
Oh, my great pleasure. Thank you.
You guys are just out of the gate having a ball.
Well, the session was like that, actually. You know, I mean, the band is like that. We play like that. It's always been incredibly easy to play with these guys. There's nothing to be a distraction in playing, you know. There's nothing that you have to, there's no agenda to our thing at all. It's just the actual, you know, pure enjoyment.
Rhythmically, these guys, Lionel on guitar and Miguel on alto saxophone, they give as good as they get.
But that's exactly, I think, why I chose these guys to begin with, you know. It wasn't like a concept not to have a bass in this group. In this group, it's just guitar and alto. Although Lionel sometimes has like an octave divider where he can bring out the low sound like of a bass. It's not that he's obliged to do that. In fact, at the beginning of this, I had to make it a point and say, look, I don't want us to make up for the lack of that instrument, you know. It's no, that's kind of like we've cut the cord that's tying us down to the ground. So what's going to happen from that? The rapport with Lionel was actually pretty freaky, bizarre connection. Bizarre in that the things that we played together were the most unexpected things, and they happened all the time. It was, I mean, by the end of it, we were just cracking up, laughing. It's bizarre, and it's incredible. So he's a brother. I really feel close to him, you know. Miguel, I guess musically the connection is in the big respect for tradition, I feel, in Miguel's playing, for tradition of, it could be Americana, North Americana, it could be South America, but there's a real respect for the tradition of music. And a musician that comes from that, I hear that in their playing, I can have great conversation with it, in a sense, you know? His ability, you know, just pure ability of his incredible time, incredible listening, you know, his knowledge of theory, all of that, those aspects as well, makes it very easy to play. You know, everything's taken care of.
Talking with Jeff Ballard about Time's Tales, his CD with Miguel Zenon on alto saxophone and Lena Luecke on guitar. That's Luecke's Virgin Forest. Jeff Ballard, you just kind of present an idea, maybe a rhythmic idea or even just a texture, and they pick up on it and run with it. These guys, Lionel and Miguel, are right there with you.
In the first tune in Virgin Forest, it happens. The rhythmic element in everybody's playing is so solid and so sophisticated that it was, I guess, a natural thing for me. What do I think about it? It's just what I wanted to explore even more. And I think, you know, basically everything sits on top of rhythm, no matter what. So you can play the best notes, but if it's not a good rhythm in a way, they don't really have the same force. You know, they don't feel as good. They don't work as well. You know, so the very first fundamental thing is, where do you place these sounds, you know? So that game is there no matter if it's a piano trio or what have you. So with these guys, yeah, like you say, you know, we play some free piece and a lot of the information is a rhythmic information that's turned into a melodic statement of some sort. And that's a great game with these guys that I get to play with because of their sophistication in that.
It's an approach which, surprisingly, in one sense, works in a variety of settings. You've got everything here from standards to completely free to more of a world music approach. And whatever it is that bonds the three of you together just takes flower every time.
Right. I just thought of something as you were talking. The one cover we do of the Queens of the Stone Age is a rock and roll song. You know.
You do like to rock.
Yeah.
and roll. Yes. That's a bit of Hanging Tree from the Jeff Ballard Trio CD, Time's Tales. That's originally by Queens of the Stone Age.
That's a cool tune. There's a few other ones that I like a lot. It's great, you know, one fact, how we have all this music available to us. So you got, you know, Radiohead covers, and everyone's still covering the Beatles, and they're all going to cover whatever that's where jazz started from as well, right? So it's a natural fact to take something and to do it the way you would do it.
And you guys can then turn it around and bring it down and do a Gershwin tune, and it sounds just as natural.
It was so great to hear those guys. Again, I say, you know, like this guy from Puerto Rico and this guy from Benin, and they're playing Gershwin. And they play it not like they're trying to sound as if they're from a certain era and a certain culture. You can hear their respect and their great knowledge about this culture and the music of it. But they still make it their own, which is the idea. That's what you're supposed to do, I figure.
Which is what makes those songs timeless.
There you go.
You know, so it's good. Timeless tales in a sense as
nice.
Well.
Nice.
Beat Street is a kind of trip to the islands, or maybe with a second line detour. What's going on there?
Yeah, that came out of a drum beat that I played one day. I'm at home, you know, screwing around, and I put a little splash cymbal on top of the snare drum and a wood block on the floor tom, piece of wood on the floor tom, and I just started playing single stroke eighth notes, right, and alternating my hands back and forth across these surfaces, these things, you know? And this great second line beat came out that also kind of had a little calypso, kind of island thing, like you say, to it, and then immediately the tune came out of that beat.
Jeff Ballard, thank you so much for joining us on The Checkout.
Oh, I had a great time. Thanks for having me, too.
Jeff Ballard's Time's Tales with Lionel Luecke and Miguel Zenon. Coming up next, stay awake, singer Jose James, While You Were Sleeping. Jose talks to WBGO's Simon Rettner. This is The Checkout. I'm Josh Jackson. Thank you.
upon my face, shadows long upon my face. She's gone on the last train.
While You Were Sleeping is the recording by Jose James. While You Were Sleeping, he put out a record that people didn't necessarily see coming. The last time he was at WBGO, actually, he was performing in our studio a set of ballads, Lush Life, Billy Strayhorn, in that material. And not necessarily what you're going to get on this recording, right?
Yes and no, in a way. I mean, it's funny because a song like Lush Life, to me, that's the ultimate vocal standard. It's the hardest one to sing. And it's an unusual structure. And I never thought about it until you mentioned it, but the title track, While You Were Sleeping, sort of is my step in that direction as a songwriter. You know, it's a very different kind of structure with like strange harmony and different sections. So if you can strip it down as a musician, yes. Everything else, absolutely not.
Well, you also call While You Were Sleeping your most mature songwriting effort to date. Why?
Well, I have started to focus a lot more on the words. I've been more sort of preoccupied with like mood and a vibe and all those sort of like 90s neo soul catchwords, you know. I mean, this whole album is really more about direct communication. I didn't want to have a whole lot of like solos and you know, my band is in the same place, you know, we're all coming from jazz. So we wanted to put all the kind of creativity that we normally do in improvisation into the actual structures and the parts and putting it together, which took a long time.
Jose James is the artist with the recording called While You Were Sleeping from Blue Note. It's funny because when you were also at WBGO, one of the things you said in the interview was that you want to put out a record a year and you want it to be completely different from the last one.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm pretty honest. You know, I think I prepare people. Anyone who's even like remotely interested in my career, you could spend 30 seconds on the internet and kind of get my thing. I mean, the next one is going to be very traditional. I'm doing a tribute to Billie Holiday. She's my favorite jazz singer in the world. And I never try to be controversial. All I want to do is do like what Miles did. I mean, the thing is like Miles, thought nothing of like doing Sketches of Spain and taking himself in that way to push himself, which is not really a jazz album in terms of like traditional.
No, that would be like a concerto, right?
Yeah, totally. You know, that would be like Andrea Bocelli or something kind of project, you know? And then he would turn around and do Miles Ahead or, you know, like Small Thing. And for him, it was just projects, you know? It's kind of funny because it kind of gets built up. Like, there's a lot of speculation. Like, was it Brad, you know, who came in with this, like, screaming guitar and changed Jose's whole sound? And, you know, it's funny because I had to spend so much time convincing even the band about the direction. Because they, you know, when I started talking about influences and playing them stuff, like Stereo Lab, it's kind of like, well, I don't get how all these things fit together. And I've now realized that I'm the only one that hears the end result. It's kind of like, you know, I'm taking hip hop, I'm taking Nick Drake and singer-songwriter stuff, I'm taking indie rock, blues, jazz writing, jazz harmony, and trying to like combine it into this one thing. And that's what you hear on the album. So it's easy to sort of pick apart the strands afterwards, but it's very difficult for people to sort of envision it before.
What is the quintessential Stereo Lab track? There's so many good ones, and the arrangements are incredible.
Oh, man. Yeah. Get a Shot of the Refrigerator on Fab Four Suture, which was two EPs. Like, that stuff to me has an edge to it that I really like. I really respond to, like, viscerally. And I think that's sort of the thing that is hard to explain in interviews. I wanted, like, a visceral response. And I wanted, you know, I wanted a response. I mean, I'd rather have people not like something than just be like, well, whatever. I'd rather have someone listen to every little thing and say, man, that is not for me at all, than to be like, yeah, it's okay. I'd rather have somebody say, man, that sucks. You're wrong.
Well, speaking of getting to people viscerally, I thought we'd play a little game here. It's sort of a ripoff on Jimmy Kimmel. I want to give him a little props. It's I don't know if you've ever seen the celebrity mean tweets where you have the actual celebrities reading what people say about them. We're going to try this little game with Jose James with probably the most controversial single that he put out on this recording.
Probably the most controversial track that Blue Note's ever put out, ever.
So I'm going to have you read the comments of what people are saying in real time as they are listening to this track on SoundCloud. It's actually a pretty cool function of SoundCloud. So let's start. Here we go. Jose James, Every Little Thing.
Dallas Dawson, I love Jose James, but this isn't cool. Bloggy Vanilla, think outside the box, people. There you go, controversy from the start. Iris Musica, it took some time and now I'm totally hooked. On blast all day. Thank you, Iris. I hope that I can be like that, baby, because I feel like dying. Sergio Escamilla, too. Such a shame. Jose is a very talented person with a unique sound. This sounds like any other crap out there, which I'd love to hear what he thinks it sounds like. Lisa, Jose, you are magic. Keep evolving, sideways heart. Thank you, Lisa. So far, the women are more open-minded than the men. Nicodemus, NYC, rolling with this new direction. Thank you, sir.
Is that the DJ Nicodemus?
Yeah, yeah. DJ Loam, love this man. It shows you have range. To all those haters, maybe you are limited. LOL. You know, it's really interesting, too, because DJs do listen to way more music than musicians. So I do, you know, I since working with Giles, I make a point to kind of send stuff to DJs as well. I want musicians to love it, and I want DJs to love it.
That's really interesting perspective, because DJs are doing more of the listening. They sort of see how it fits in the cultural universe.
And DJs, I mean, if people aren't dancing, they don't get paid. So they need to keep, they might play something that people aren't dancing to and be like, all right, change it up. So if, whereas a musician would be like stubborn and be like, well, this is a set list. You know, it's my art, you know. DJs is like, man, this is on to the next one, you know. Jesse Futterman, who's a producer, who I know, and I'm not sure how he meant this, but he says Alfred Lion and Francis Wolfe rolling in their graves. Probably in a dance kind of way.
Alfred Lion and Francis Wolfe are the founders of Blue Note Records. Do you think they're rolling in their graves?
No. No, I think those gentlemen are way too dignified for any kind of action like that. I mean, you know, those guys were so badass, man. I mean, when you look back, they did things that nobody would do now. You know, they signed Thelonious Monk when no one knew about him, and he wasn't popular. He wasn't proclaimed a genius. They proclaimed him genius of modern music. They're like, put his name on it, put his face on it. They're like, man, this guy's a genius, and we're going to record all his music. And it didn't sell. And they're like, this is important. This is for art. And I'm so thankful that they did. I mean, it's pretty impossible to imagine modern jazz in harmony without Thelonious Monk. And it's a staggering contribution, you know. And to think about it, I mean, today there's no way Monk would probably get it signed. You know what I mean? I mean, famously, people have said he wouldn't win his own competition, the Monk competition, but I would say he probably wouldn't even get a record deal, you know. So it's really interesting. You know, I think, you know, those gentlemen were interested in documenting great music.
Thanks for playing that little game. So who is the loudest? What comment resonated with you the most?
It's horrible, right? But you always remember the bad ones for some reason. So the first guy, what did he say? I love Jose James, but this isn't cool. It's interesting because it's kind of like, I don't know, I guess there's an expectation, and he's saying like, you've like shattered, you've done something like dirty. You've done something like disrespectful to yourself, you know, like you should be ashamed. And I don't know. I think like Jay-Z said, it's like, if you want the old album, you can buy it. You know, it's there. It's not like it stopped existing, you know. I think it's hilarious when people say every little thing is like pop, because have they listened to the radio recently? Like, you know, it would be great. I mean, if pop sounded like that, I would be so happy, man. You know, but it, you know, it's worlds apart. I mean, it's art, and I think, you know, no matter what, and I learned this from studying painting, like modern art. Even if you don't like something, and it's often the case when you look at a painting, you may not like it at first, but the longer you spend time with the art, the more you see and the more you understand. And what's different about music is that you do have a visceral reaction, like you want to dance to it or just turn it off. But if you're truly interested in the art of music, the art inside the music, you have to spend time with the music and listen again and again and again. There's a lot of albums that I hated that I now know that they're masterpieces, and they have opened up new understandings of humanity. So I always try to listen, you know, at least three times to something before I turn into a hater.
Well, let's listen to one of the more emotionally visceral tracks I believe to be on the album. You Are the One.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that one.
You are the sound of my heart beating. I'll be waiting there. side of everything. I'll be everywhere. Now is the time when men can have their grace. And now is the time when men can learn that love is the color of your face. And beauty the gift that you return. Place in my heart, baby. Place in my heart, baby. Place in my heart, baby. Place in my heart. You are the soul of love, a gentle kiss. Now bring yourself to me. You are the taste I never knew I missed. Your touch makes me complete. Now is the time for lovers to embrace. And now is the time when bodies burn. With only desire we're longing for a taste. In darkness we wait for love's return. Place in my heart, baby. Place in my heart, baby. Place in my heart, baby. Place in my heart. We alone. Lights alone. The light falls in your face. Make a love. Make a stay.
Yeah, I can think of all kinds of different activities to do during that song.
I mean, you are the one for me, like, is my love of hip hop. You know, it's my love of Madlib and Dilla. The beat, I mean, it was a crazy beat that we made. And it's almost impossible to play live because it's not real. You know, it's programmed. It's real. Like, Richard Spavin played that beat. But we messed with it in terms of the time and added other accents and stuff. So it's pretty much technically impossible to play on drums, but it feels so good. And I guess that's what I'm trying to say. You know, it's like, you know, I love Madlib and I love Coltrane and I love James Blake and I love Christian McBride, you know. And I think all those things are valid and can exist in the same place, and they do in my world on this album.
You're just releasing music all the time and you just drop cuts here and there, and a lot of this wonderful music kind of gets lost in the shuffle of things. I want to go out with a remix of Vanguard, done with some Taylor McFerrin on there as well, right? Set this track up for us.
Oh, this is the Flacco one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have to say, this, the production is just so, talk about subtle. The production is so subtle, like, I generally despise the chimes and the way anyone plays them. But there are chimes on this record that aren't really chimes. It's like muted chimes.
Yeah, I mean, Flacco's amazing, man. He totally reharmonized the song as well and just took it to somewhere that I had no idea it could ever go. He also sings on the track. You can hear on like the harmonies, the high vocal stuff. He's just a monster producer.
Jose James, thank you for joining us on the Checkout.
Thanks, y'all. Thanks for listening. And see you soon. And when will I know? When will I see you?
Vanguard, remixed by Flacco, from Jose James' EP, Come to My Door. Jose James spoke to our producer, Simon Rentner. The Checkout is a podcast? It is. You can subscribe to it on iTunes. In fact, you can download a dozen of our shows. Give us a review while you're there. The Checkout is also on our website, checkoutjazz.org. Share it with your friends. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, @CheckoutJazz. Our producer is Simon Rentner. He's @SimonRentner. Special thanks to web producer Tim Wilkins, audio engineer Jeremy Sterone, and our production intern, Joyce Kwan. The Checkout is a production of WBGO, Newark, the Jazz Source. I'm Josh Jackson. Thanks for listening.